Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's Thursday, January 16th, 2025. We got a great show planned for you today. Lomas Brown of Lions Radio stops by at 3:30. And Danny Cannell, one of the great college football analysts in the country, is going to give us his take on the national championship game to be played coming up when he joins us today at 5:30. Always want to get his thoughts before a big college football game. A couple of very good guests. Danny, should be an excellent Thursday program.
It's a hell of a sports week, my friend. A little natty tonight. I don't know. The local 53 is in the divisional round. That's on Saturday. Friday will be a nice little respite. But then you got one of my favorite sports weekends of the year. I actually like it better than the conference championship games, because there's only two. This is the, okay, if you get a stinker, there's the next one. Okay, if you get two stinkers, there's still the next one. I like this two games per day, we're all going to the conference final, let's go streaking, bring your green hat type environment. This is a wonderful time, and it's cool that Washington is in one of the games.
Yeah, the fact that they're still rolling here is uncharted territory for so many of us if you weren't around for the Super Bowl era, right? I mean, they have been playing in the divisional round before, back in January of 2000 and January of 2006, but you're going back 19 years, and there is this feeling of both excitement but also not really knowing how to act or what to do. I was talking to some of the guys at the station last night, and they said after the win in Tampa, they kind of said, now what? Like, what do we do now? I've joked that I've had to reach out to my buddy who does radio in Kansas City just to see how they're shaping their playoff shows and how they go into these weeks.
Hey, what do you guys do?
We've never done it before. We have never been here, but I'm not going to take it for granted.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to soak this up and enjoy every minute of it.
We know what to do for the Caps playoffs because it's like one time in the last decade that they don't go. We know what to do for the Nats postseason. It's been a while. It's been a minute, but we're familiar with what to do. And the Wizards also have a team. But we know in general what to do. We're familiar with the playoff shows. Not as much for the local 53, my friend. Not as much for the Washington Foosball boys.
I want to start, actually, and I hate to bring the mood down, but I'm not sure that it has to be sad because this is a life really, really well lived. But Bob Uecker passed away today. Bob Uecker, who was an absolute legend, one of the great voices, one of the iconic personalities and characters in the history of baseball and in sports, carried a sitcom and stole a movie, you know, with his role in the booth.
Yep.
Just an all-timer. I was able to meet him a couple of times in press boxes over the years. Could not have been a nicer guy. But he is gone and no longer with us. Passed away today. The Brewers made the announcement. So rest in peace to him, thinking about his family. But you can't live a much better life and do more than he did.
Can you imagine this career? First of all, he played six seasons in the major leagues. Like, that's a major league baseball player. Now, part of his shtick was that he wasn't a quote-unquote good major league baseball player. I got news. Billions of people have been born and have passed away on this earth. He was better than all but a microscopic, minuscule fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percentage of them never played the game. He played in the major leagues for 6 years. He was incredible in like Miller Lite commercials where he stole them. People realized this guy's hysterical. As you mentioned, he carried a sitcom where the straight man, so to speak, in terms of the content, was actually the butler, you know, sort of this, oh dear, like very posh butler that came to this whatever kind of family. He was the comic relief on the show. Then, of course, you mentioned Major League, and then as a play-by-play guy and a broadcaster. Incredible. What an unbelievable career journey he went on, man. That just, what a life.
He started calling games in 1971. Like, my entire life, I've known him in the booth. Don't know him as a player. Don't know him for so many of the other things that came before that. Just know him as a legend and an icon as a broadcaster. But that started in 71, Danny. You're talking about a 55-year, basically, I don't know if you'd call it a second career or a third career, and it will be what he ultimately is most known for. He is synonymous for. But my introduction to him, like so many people, I think, was the movie Major League.
Harry Doyle here.
Which is one of my favorite films ever. In fact, when we first started as a radio show, this is a deep cut, the real ones who have been OGs with us from day one might remember this. But we did a thing called Movie Madness. I think it was our first ever year, like a couple months into our show.
Yeah.
So that March, we had fans and listeners every single day vote on movies, and we did a bracket.
Just like the NCAA tournament.
You came out to the Alamo, and you didn't know what we were going to play in the finals. I think it was, I can't remember what it was up against. It was like Major League or maybe Varsity Blues.
Could have been Field of Dreams was in there. Hoosiers was in there. All the sports movies.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the finals was, I think, a football movie and a baseball movie.
Could have been Remember the Titans. I'm trying to remember the matchup,
But everyone doesn't know what's playing, and then we're sitting in the Alamo, and everyone's got their popcorn and their drinks and Major League rolls, and there's this big ovation, and we watched Major League with a packed house at the Alamo as kind of our first big show event. And it was really, really cool. Like, it was an awesome thing. And because we were a couple of months in as a midday show, it was also great to be able to, you know, to have some success as an event.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, I think, worked because that night we're all cracking up watching Major
Just
League.
Having such a good time.
Thanks to Bob Uecker.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his Major League debut.
I'm going to light your ass up, meat.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
How can they lay off pitches that close? 10 out of 10 after every pitch is 10 feet off the plate. But it's his delivery. Like, you can get broadcasters to be in movies, and it happens all the time. I've never seen one steal a film. He was the best, if you want to call it an actor, I don't know if that's the right word, but he was the best character in the movie, and he killed it.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. You know, just the little lines, the throwaway stuff, the comedic timing and delivery. 10 out of 10, man. Just he will be missed.
I mean, he was also one of those guys, I hate to say it this way, but he's getting older, and it was one of those people old enough and kind of battling enough that you kind of, every now and then would like check in, or you'd see him in a press box or something, and you'd go, oh, that's awesome. Bob Uecker's still traveling, or he's still doing it, or he's still calling games or whatever. And you knew a day like this would come, but it just doesn't prepare you. He's one of the best. I mean, this is royalty. This is sports royalty. And when you lose a John Madden, a Bob Uecker, like, we're in an era where this doesn't really happen. Doesn't mean we don't have great broadcasters. We do. But because of the new generation and content and everyone having their own platforms, and it's just different. I say this all the time about news people. We'll never have a Walter Cronkite again. You know, there's never going to be a, like, you've got to turn on the news because this crazy, terrible thing is happening to see what this person thinks. Like, that is over. And I think from a sports standpoint, a personality like a Madden or a Uecker, I'm not sure that we're going to have that either. Because if you're unique enough and fun enough to be that kind of big personality, you're just getting eviscerated on Twitter, and you know, you're not getting hired. It's just a different time.
Yeah, so it's everybody has to be, and this doesn't take anything away from those guys, but you think of the play-by-play voice is now that's the buttoned up nuts and bolts. We got to do it. the right way. And like, there are guys that are great at that. Like, Mike, that doesn't mean they don't smile or have fun, but like, Mike Tirico is like incredible to me. It's my favorite play-by-play voice.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome. There's a number of guys that do a great job. But baseball's kind of unique to this, which I'll get back to in a second. But the idea that, oh, that's right, sports are really fun. All of this is fun. All of this is grown-up kids playing a game that we all played outside somewhere, whether it's stickball or flag football or shooting hoops in the driveway, whatever. And he's delivering this to you in a package in a way that you can't do now, right? Like, to me, it's that throwback. It's like, could you imagine a broadcaster coming up now and as a baseball game is going on, like telling you a 4-minute story about how this guy, worked on his cousin's ranch when he was 12 and he got attacked by a wolf. You'd go, what are you doing?
Well,
Vin Scully does it or did it, you know?
You literally can't now because of the pace of the game changing,
because
of the rules. Another reason why the personality and the stories of some of the broadcasters is going to go away for just the nuts and the bolts and the black and the white of the game, which in some ways there's a romanticism lost there that's tough. But it's a time and place thing, right? Like a broadcaster at a network is not going to have the same relationship with the audience as, say, Euchre in year 40 in Milwaukee or whatever. So you can't expect Joe Buck or Tirico or Joe Davis to kind of be of that ilk. But what local guys are like that?
Right.
I mean, again, it is a endangered species. You just don't see it anymore. Ryan's in Culpeper on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Ryan, thanks for the call. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Everyone should listen to Bob Euchre's Hall of Fame induction speech. Hilarious.
It was great.
Yes, it was.
And I'm super pumped. Kind of like what you say. This is my favorite weekend. I'm a season ticket holder, Redskins or Commanders. I think we're going to win seven of the next eight quarters, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think we're going to play the Eagles next week, and we're not going to be scared. That's what I'm pumped about. Eight quarters.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate
it. It's the way I've been saying it is, you're a win over the Lions away from beating a team potentially that you've already beaten this year, or a team that is a lesser opponent if you don't get the team that you've already beaten this year, standing in your way of a Super Bowl. I said this yesterday. I do think. Now, again, there's no way to know this, right? But I go back to the Nats and the idea of them being, remember Steven Strasburg said we're the buzzsaw. You know, he thought once they got through that division series against the Dodgers, he just, in his mind, he goes, all right, we broke through. Now we're going to go win the thing. I remember feeling that way about the Capitals. This is not tried and true. You could absolutely lose the next round.
Yeah, they were down 3-2 to Tampa Bay.
Exactly. But when they got past the Penguins finally in round two and the way that they did, you felt like that was the slaying of the dragon. That was the series they weren't going to win. That was the big goal, the big moment that has eluded them forever. Now you're going to go win the whole damn thing. There's a little bit of a feeling for me about this run for Washington with Detroit. Not that they'd win the whole thing, but I said this yesterday, and I do believe this. I think the Lions in Detroit is the toughest game they will play for the rest of the season, even if they went to the Super Bowl. Because Philly, they go there every year. They were just there. They played a pretty good football game there for 3 1/4 quarters. And it's a division matchup that you know very well that you've scored almost 40 against very recently. If you go out to L.A. against the Rams, tough travel. It's a really good football coach and a quarterback with hardware in Stafford. But, Danny, you go out to L.A. and play the Rams. I don't want to say it's a neutral site game, but that's not an environment like Detroit's going to be.
No.
They just don't pack that joint with diehards in L.A., and there would be a million Commanders fans there that would make that trip to Los Angeles because the tickets would be pretty easy to get in that giant stadium. And then the following week, or 2 weeks, would be the Super Bowl, which is a neutral site corporate environment. Worst case scenario, you know, you're playing one of the big three, like the Ravens, the Bills, or
Chiefs.
The Chiefs, and you'd be a dog, but you're a dog against a team that is at best about as good as Detroit, who you've already beaten in this magical run. You're two more wins down the road, meaning the confidence that comes from that, the exuberance that comes from that. There would be this feeling of team of destiny in the locker room. No one's going to beat us. Like, think about how sky high they go into that game for a neutral site game. This is the hardest game they've got left, in my opinion. Doesn't mean they wouldn't win this one and lose the next one.
Right.
I'm just saying they will not play a more difficult game for me.
I tend to agree with that. I mean, this is the furthest uphill. And that may sound ludicrous to folks because you're talking about – the added pressure of a Super Bowl, the added pressure of a conference title game. But just talking about on paper opponents, Detroit has the best resume this year of anybody, in my view, right? And you could argue Kansas City. I think that's fine. You could argue with some of the other teams. But to me, like the fact that Washington is so early in this, again, Detroit's first year of their rebuild with Holmes and Dan Campbell, they went 3-13. It was before they even moved to 17 games in a season. They were terrible. The next year, they stepped up and got better and had a nice winning streak at the end, finished 9-8, spoiled Green Bay's postseason hopes. Then they became this buzzsaw. Washington is already here, frankly, 2 years early. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part I can't escape. That's the part I can't kind of get past in terms of a building timeline. Is it's not a 3-13 year, but hey, we got a nice quarterback. That's fun. They're here. One upset went away. One, Jared Goff flub away. One, you know, punch out fumble that goes their way. One tip pass for an interception away. One fourth quarter where you got the ball last away from being in a conference title game. Then how could you say something's not possible with right. this group? You know what I mean? Like the impossible things are happening on a weekly basis with this team. They are. You know, you go, well, you can't win a divisional game without Jaden Daniels in there having him play poorly. And then Marcus Mariota comes in, leads them on a comeback. You can't win against Philadelphia committing 7 penalties in the first 10 minutes of football, getting down double digits. Well, then you do. You can't win on the last second play again. And then they do 5 straight weeks. You know what I mean? Like, there's no more can't. There's no more, hey, stop dreaming because it's irrational. You do that now. If you go into Detroit and beat this Goliath, dream on, man. Have fun.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, too, you talk about them being ahead of schedule. It's taken an excellent coaching job, obviously, by Quinn and the staff. It's taken a phenomenal, borderline historical rookie season from the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. But it's also taken great fortune. It has taken something that's eluded this team during the Snyder years, certainly, and for a long, long time, right? What if Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt in the Philly game that you come back to win? What if Raheem Morris yep. doesn't have some of the worst clock management I've ever seen in my life in that Atlanta game at the end of the fourth quarter when he gives you a chance to go to overtime? Or if they don't have, you know, kicker problems on their fourth kicker of the season and have a guy come up short from outside of 50 like he'd never kicked in the NFL before, who you cut in training camp in a year where you haven't been able to find a kicker? What if Trey Lance isn't missing red zone throws left and right when you're having your worst first half of the season against the Dallas Cowboys to keep you in the game? You know, what if you don't get the doinking in, or Baker Mayfield doesn't inexplicably run into Jalen McMillan and fumble when the Bucs are leading and trying to go take a 2-possession lead? What if the center doesn't snap the ball early on accident, you know, on third and inches, and they go take the lead instead of kick a tying field goal to give then Jaden Daniels the chance to go win? So two things are true. They've played well. They've got the goods. They believe in themselves. And also, they're getting the bounces. They're getting a lot of breaks, just like the 2019 Nats did, just like the 2018 Caps did. For years, those teams did not get that good fortune. Those fortuitous benefits just didn't go their way.
There was no puck off Lars Eller's thigh.
And you're seeing it with the Commanders.
Right, yeah.
Now, maybe that runs out in Detroit, and mm-hmm. the Lions are the team that blows you out or whatever. But just to get this far has done unbelievable good for the program. Moving forward now.
Absolutely.
And you got a legit chance. That's the other thing. We're both saying this is the heaviest lift. What was the phrase you used? Like, this is the tallest hill to climb or whatever. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And yet you're playing a defense that ranked 31st in yards allowed per game over the last 5 weeks of the season. One team was worse. And that was with their great masterpiece against the Vikings, by the way.
Yeah.
28th in points allowed over the last 5 weeks of the season. Bottom 5 in the NFL. Last in opposing quarterback rating, 31st in passing yards. They are going to allow Jaden Daniels time and some real estate with open receivers. Washington is going to move the ball, Danny. This is the game that everyone says will be the hardest, that they probably can't win, and there's a real good chance they score upper 20s, low 30s in points because the Lions' defense is that bad. I will take my chances every single time.
And that's kind of the point here, is if you have an offense that can compete, even without your own running game being worth a damn over the last, you know, whatever you want to call it, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, non-Tennessee division, even with that, you know you're going to score points. You know you're going to move the football. And if you've got an offense that can score points and move the football, that's why they play the games here, right? If you were anemic on that side and you got to go, well, I hope this juggernaut of an offense that can't be stopped, I hope they slow down. I hope they shoot themselves in the foot. Let's go toe to toe. Let's go, you know, Rocky Balboa style. You go up against a much better boxer, but let's make it a street fight. Let's go. You got to score. We got to score. Let's see what happens.
Bobby Wagner, one of the most important players on this team and one of the best players on Washington's defense, has been missing practice throughout the week. We've got an update on his status. We'll give you that next, and then we should get into the running game. How much faith do you have in sticking with Brian Robinson, or is it time to make a change or two? Would that feel too panicked in the middle of a 6-game winning streak? That's next on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there any level of concern with Bobby and his ankle?
No. Okay. Yep. So he did a good job on the rehab part of it, the things, but getting a chance to see him, you know, yesterday some through the rehab and in today's practice, he looks strong.
No issues for Bobby Wagner. He will be a go on Saturday night in Detroit. He made 8 tackles, 5 solo, had a half sack, and a hit on the quarterback in his Tampa Bay performance. And the biggest play he made, Danny, may have been the biggest play for Washington's defense when he scooped that fumble up.
That was Johnny on the spot type stuff. I heard Joe Witt talking about it yesterday when the coordinators spoke. And,
ball is life.
Well, he didn't do ball is life like Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso, but he did say, like, just interesting talking about how the technique worked for that. I never heard this, and you know, obviously I didn't play very high level football. It was peewee stuff, and I got knocked on my butt once, and was like, you know what, I'll go hit baseballs anyway. But he was talking about he got his hips down. It's such a huge, major thing where some guys don't do that. It's like maybe about, you know, diving head first or kind of getting in the nitty gritty. But it was like, well, of course, Bobby Wagner did the hard thing. You know what I mean? Like the guys have just been doing everything you're supposed to do at the highest level for so long. And of course, he did the really, really challenging thing in a scrum, got down there first and, you know, was able to wrestle that thing away. So, of course, he's the dude that made the huge play.
Because the ball is life.
That's right, Coach.
Bobby gave this team life. Don't forget, though, I bring this up as much as I can. I mean, Tampa Bay had a lead and a chance to go up two possessions. And Washington's defense was not getting stops. They weren't forcing punts. In fact, Baker Mayfield statistically had one of the better games in terms of efficiency that we've ever seen somebody have in a playoff loss. That takeaway, which was more of a giveaway by the Bucs, if we're being honest,
yeah,
was the difference in the game in so many ways. A couple of plays later, Terry McLaurin on fourth down catches a touchdown. Washington goes ahead. But the Bucs had a 65.2% drop back success rate against the Commanders on Sunday night. The best drop back success rate in a playoff loss this century.
Wow.
You go through all of the games in the 2000s, the single most efficient passing performance in a loss was Mayfield in Tampa Bay. This was not a Washington's defense answered the bell and had a great game.
And who do they play Saturday?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But can you generate takeaways? I don't think Jared Goff's going to just gift you that fumble by bumping into Jameson Williams. You can't count on that. But does he throw you a pick if you move him off his mark and hit him? Maybe. Can you get a punch fumble on Jahmyr Gibbs in the open field or something like that? I think they need two takeaways probably if they're going to beat the Lions, because I just don't think they're going to force enough punts.
My hope is special teams. You know, think about how Philadelphia won their game, opening kickoff. I mean, that's too much to ask, obviously, but something like that, where I'm hoping Washington's not punting a bunch so their punt coverage can do it, but something, right? Like whether it's a blocked kick, if you've got that thing that you saw on film, that, you know, maybe this could be the week that you, you know, do something special to take something away. I mean, to me, something out of the ordinary has got to happen in that regard. Like, because again, I think if you go toe to toe and slug with them, they're better at it than you. They're better than everybody. They're the number one offense in this sport, and they would love a track meet with you, because they'd take a track meet with anybody, to be honest with you. And I don't know that Washington has any answers defensively. I mean, to me, the kind of guy that Marshon Lattimore would do well against is a guy that they just played this past week, and he got his lunch eaten by him. Now, maybe he'll be better this week, but with a little bit more practice time, but it's not much. It's short rest. Like, speed guys, I got no interest in watching him try to trail Jameson Williams or St. Brown or even Tim Patrick or whatever. I don't know, man. It's just not a good – there's no way when I look at this game that I think Washington's defense will have anything to do positive here. I think they'll be on the field while Detroit's running their stuff.
Well, they need Lattimore to be way better. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. There's no way to discuss his performance seriously or legitimately if you're not saying he got worked by Mike Evans. He just did. And by the way, happened a couple of weeks before that with A.J. Brown. But Joe Witt, who you just heard there, ball is life, did say that Marshon Lattimore is getting better. Like, he is getting closer. He is on the practice field more. It goes, I think, without saying, when you come back from a hamstring injury, you're probably not going to be 100% right away. There's a building up.
Sure.
I don't know what you thought. I did not think he looked anywhere near healthy against Tampa Bay. I'm not making an excuse for him. He got beat like a drum. But it seemed to me like he was moving kind of gingerly, wasn't very explosive. But Joe Witt seems to think he is getting closer and closer, and that playing that game, even if it didn't go as well as they would have wanted, was an important part of the process.
I mean, I felt that it might be a little bit difficult for the standpoint that, you know, he got one real day of fast practice, and we asked him to go out there, and same thing we did ask him last time, to go out against AJ and go out there against Mike. But, you know, that comes with the territory of being who he is, okay? And, you know, when you go out there – and you fight on the outside lanes, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And I have full confidence that he's going to win because he's getting the reps now every day, and he's going to knock all that rust off. So it wasn't the performance that any of us wanted, all right? But I have full confidence in the young man that he's going to get it done.
So he's saying basically it was rust. He just wasn't ready for that kind of a stage, those kind of lights. The problem is it gets more difficult this week. Jameson Williams can beat you deep. I even think Tim Patrick, who maybe he'd go up against occasionally. I don't think there's anybody you'd travel him with because ARSB, Amonra is going to be in the slot so much that you know you don't put Marshawn Lattimore on him in the slot. So there's going to be some Tim Patrick situations where they're one-on-one. That's a much better matchup. He's kind of Mike Evans-ish in terms of the routes he's going to run, using his body to try to shield you from the football. I don't know, man. I'm worried about Lattimore. I'm worried about the secondary. I will say Mikey Sanders still did some pretty good things. He led all rookies with pass breakups this year. They need him to stand tall in this game.
Yeah, everybody. Sorry. With all due respect, it's like, hey, game of your life. You, and you. Anybody that's going to be back there, you've got to be heady. You've got to be quicker than you've ever been. You have to anticipate stuff. You can't get caught with the eye candy. Those guys have to be incredible
and
in fairness, this game.
To what you're saying, like it sounds like, oh, you guys are making a lot out of the Lions. They're 9.5-point favorites. That's a gigantic line in the divisional round.
They'd be favored over, what, 27, 28, maybe 30 teams in the NFL this week at home?
Right, but how often do you see a line like this in this round?
Not as often. Not very often.
I mean,
right.
An elite eight team in the NFL, one of the last eight teams standing, disrespectful.
Yeah, it's now, like you and Houston going to Kansas City. Same trough.
I don't have an issue with it.
Right.
Because I think it's fair. But you want to beat the team that's the heavy favorite? This is how you have to do it. Well, let's get to the offense, though, in the running game. They have stood by Brian Robinson. They have been very patient, and they keep hoping that B-Rob's going to break out of this slump. I think it'd be easy to move on from him if somebody else was crushing it when they ran the football. Nobody really is. But Brian Robinson's having less success than any of their other backs. In the last two games against the Cowboys and against the Bucs, he ran the ball 15 times for 26 yards. In fact, in that win over the Eagles at home, Danny, 10 attempts for 24 yards. So you're talking about a three-game sample in the last four, take out the Atlanta game, where he had 25 carries for 50 yards, 2 yards per carry in three of those games. But they keep riding him. They're giving him the most touches. To their credit, I think, they're not abandoning the run. They're trying to slow the pass rush down by giving him some carries. Would you do something different, or would you give B-Rob a shot?
So part of their DNA, part of this coaching staff and kind of the way they go about it is this is who we are, and that includes Brian Robinson. So my prediction is it's just more of the same, and we'll dance with the one that brung us, right? I think that's how they're going to do it. If you go down, you go down with the ship. I would not. I have no time for it. It's not about egos or hurt feelings, and maybe Robinson will come back healthy and ready to rock and roll next year, and maybe I use him a little bit differently to try to keep him fresher. I don't know what's going on. I can't watch a guy go 10 for 16, 5 for 10, 5 for 13, 10 for 24 over the last handful of weeks and tell me that everything is fine, we're just going to stick with it. You can't do that. I'm not saying abandon the run altogether, because you're right. They have so many looks and so many. In order to get, you know, that third and five that time, you need people to respect the inside run so that Jaden Daniels keeps it and goes around the edge. You need to show it, and I'm fully aware of it.
And I love how Cliff has mixed it in, knowing it's not going to work.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is,
you got to keep people honest.
On first and 10, it hasn't been a ton of plunging straight ahead. But on, like, second and, just as an example, when they're in, like, second and five or second and six, he's calling that run that's probably going to get one or two, but it's still going to set up third and manageable. And he's been smart in that regard where you go, man, that's the fourth straight run. They've gotten nothing. But if you're running on second and five and you get nothing, you still got a decent third down upcoming. Whereas if you're running on first and 10 getting nothing, you're behind the chain. So I think he's been really smart in that way. A lot of people are calling for more Chris Rodriguez. I've been one of those people loudly this season. But I will say, if you look at Chris Rodriguez over the last four games that he played in, he did not get a touch against the Cowboys. He was deactivated here going into the playoffs. He has carried the ball 9 times for 23 yards, which is right, you know, between 2 and 3 yards per carry.
Yep.
So it's not like he's been going ham sandwich. Now, the only times this year where he's actually gotten enough carries to get into a flow and be physical and really start leaning on teams, He's averaged 7.2 and 4.7 yards per carry. Went for 94 against the Titans, but everybody ran well that
sure,
day.
Sure, yeah, everyone did.
B-Rob had a 40-yard touchdown in that game. And he went for 52 yards on 11 carries against the Giants, about 5 yards per carry. I want to see more of him because the numbers say he's better. The rushing yards over expected, you know, some of the data on what he gets after contact. And he's 24. He was a 6th-round pick. He had a hell of a college career. He's averaging 5 yards per carry this season. He's averaging 5 yards per carry for his career. I just think the production's been there. Give him a chance. But if you just look at the last few weeks, it's not like he has, when given the carries, done a whole lot.
Right. It's not as if, as you said, someone's averaging 8 yards a carry and some guy's averaging 2, but they keep going with 2. To me, my answer is this simple. It's eye test. It's not fair, but the Atlanta touchdown run. Robinson's not making that run. Rodriguez did. I think it's that simple. I don't think Robinson could do that right now. Maybe when he's healthy or if he's 100% right or whatever's going on before this funk we're in. I'm making up the health thing. I haven't heard word one. I just watch a guy that doesn't look as effective as he did the first half of the year. That game, that pitch to the left against Atlanta where he's in the backfield talking about Rodriguez and is dead to rights, sheds that guy, breaks a couple other tackles, and goes into the end zone for a touchdown, a massive moment that gets lost in the sauce because of what Jaden Daniels did in overtime. They don't win that game without that. Robinson can't do that right now, and Rodriguez can. That's as simple as it is for me. Nobody's going to run effectively. I think that run game is broken. You could bring just about anybody in that game on their roster to run the football, and it's not going to go real well, except for Jaden Daniels on design stuff, and even that's not great. It's mostly scrambles. But I think it would be better if they went with Rodriguez. The thing I don't know, and I'll tag you back in, is maybe they don't feel anywhere near as good with him in the pass game, pass pro, or otherwise. Because they threw it to Robinson 5 times this past week. Maybe they thought they found something there, a tendency here and there. I don't know. But I would go Rodriguez way, way, way more often. And I wouldn't start the other way and then go to it. I would start with Rodriguez.
What would you guys do differently with the running game? Whether that means usage and who gets the carries, or just how they implement it in game. And we'll open up the phones 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you. I will say this. I agree with you that I have no faith that they're ever going to run the ball at a high level again this season because it's just been too long since we've seen it. But Danny, you have to acknowledge, and I think most people will acknowledge, the Lions are terrible of late at stopping the run. And for the duration of this season, it has been a struggle. Like, if you look at their yards per game defensively, they're top 5 allowed in the run game. That's not the metric because you're trailing them.
Mm-hmm.
You're always behind. They score 50 points.
They're you got to throw it a ton.
Highest scoring team in the league. So you throw it all the time. When you look at yards per play, they're in the bottom 10 in the NFL, and it's been worse than that over the stretch run. So this is a team with their injuries up front, with their D tackles that they're missing, that you should be able to run it on. I think you got to try it early. You have to see what's what.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying stick to it and bang your head against the wall because the plays are going to be there to be had in the passing game for Jaden Daniels against this secondary, which has given up the most yards to quarterbacks over the last 5 weeks in the NFL. But you got to try to figure something out on the ground. My one fix would be, I like you, it sounds like, I am going to give Rodriguez not only a jersey, he's going to play, he's going to get early carries. I got someone here in the chat on YouTube, 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat, to watch us in high definition. Of course, we're on the Odyssey app, coast to coast. You can listen to us wherever. He says he wants more Eckler. Said Eckler is a far better option than either of the other two guys running the football. We should get into that next because it doesn't seem like they want Eckler to get those carries that B-Rob gets. They like giving those to the bigger physical Rodriguez, and they use Eckler in his role. But we could tackle that next. How are you going to try to get the run game going, or should they just worry about slinging the ball all over the field indoors with no weather conditions this weekend? Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We appreciate you. We're taking you up to 6:30. Lomas Brown of Lions Radio joins us at 3:30, and Danny Cannell gets you ready for the national championship game coming up in 4 days. That's at 5:30 tonight, right here on G&D. We're talking run game right now.
It's been broken. It's bad. Nobody's running the ball effectively. There's a million reasons why. I think Washington probably has a couple tells. I think opponents have coordinated very well against it. I think the offensive line is not playing as well as they were, whether it's a health thing or something else. I think Brian Robinson's not himself. I don't know what the one cause is. I don't think there is one cause. I think it's everything under the sun. So what would you do here? You got away with it against Tampa, running Brian Robinson 10 times for 16 yards. I don't think you can do that this week. I think you need more productivity out of that run game, especially if you want to play the way you did, which is you hold the football a bunch, you limit Detroit's opportunities, you matriculate down the field. I would go early Chris Rodriguez. I would also feature Austin Eckler. I'm making sure, though, that he's in space more often. I want to use him right, but a minimum 12 to 14 touches for Eckler.
I want to get into Eckler in a minute and how that role could look, because they've been very careful about making him their bell cow. But let's touch the people. You guys have some thoughts on how the run game should look. Let's go to Adrian in Fort Washington. Commanders, Lions, Saturday night. What do you want to see, Adrian?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
Good, buddy.
Hey. I definitely agree. With Chris probably taking the bulk of the snaps. McNichols has also been doing well. But what I really want to see, because they've been doing most of their running between the tackles, I really think they need to do a bit off tackle and sweeps, you know, to use the speed as well as the power. Robinson, I'm not sure if he seemed to be not hitting the hole hard. It's like he's kind of dancing a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on, if he's lost his confidence or if he's injured. I'm not sure. But I really do believe that's what they need to do. They need to go off tackle and some more sweeps.
So I kind of like the idea. By the way, McNichols in the last five games he's played in has six carries for 13 yards. Again, this is not a Brian Robinson issue. It's exacerbated by the fact that he's probably been a little bit worse than the other guys. But I'm not sure that that's not just because he's getting more carries than the other guys. We're just seeing him run it more when no one's running it effectively, basically. McNichols, for whatever reason, even though he's up, I think it's because he's better in pass pro. We've seen him be dynamite in that area,
yep.
And he can catch the football a little bit as well. He's had some four-catch games this season. You know, he is the guy that's active ahead of Rodriguez, but Rodriguez gets more carries than him in the games where it's not Robinson. I think they like Rodriguez as the B-Rob replacement, but it's a good call in this regard. I like Eckler in some of the stuff out wide. Toss him the football, which they basically never run any tosses. Get him some outside zone. Like, they don't run a lot of that, it doesn't seem like. But, you know, be in the gun or even in the pistol. Take a page out of the Falcons playbook where, you know, you have Bijan behind Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins, and you do that old Peyton Manning thing where you got to sprint out and you're barely getting the ball to the guy, and now he's into the, you know, field side of the play and getting him into space. I'd like to see some of that rather than just quite literally banging your head against the line of scrimmage.
So, quick point. The reason they run on the interior so much to me is to make teams respect that so that you can have the outside stuff with Jaden Daniels, because it's off that that 3PO, it's off of the, you know, some of those design keepers and different things where you're reading the defense, read option type stuff. So I know it looks like they're banging their head against the wall, and they are to a degree, but if you ever watch Navy run the triple option, you got to hand it to the fullback sometimes so that they respect that, and then you can open up everything else. So to me, you've got to bang your head against the wall a couple times,
right?
But I'm with you on the idea I want more space, because certainly the banging your head against the wall ain't working.
Well, they're going to do that, though. I mean, it's not like they're not going to hand the ball downhill.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they are. They run their duo and their power stuff. They're going to do that. I'm just saying they need to mix in more of the Eckler shotgun stuff out past the tackles to try to get the defense moving a little bit. It might be, though, that they like their matchup in the interior of moving the ball downhill against the Lions, and maybe they try to do that right out of the chute in this game. Ferris and Aldi, you're on Grant and Danny. What are you thinking about the run game going into Detroit?
Hey, guys. Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener. Thanks for all you guys do. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
I agree with you guys 100%. Like, is it Robinson's injury? Is it the O-line kind of getting that late-season fatigue, you know, not getting off the ball as well? But, yeah, I would love to see Rodriguez early. Eckler has that change of pace. Like, when you see him run, it's just a difference in his speed compared to the other guys. So I love your idea of getting him outside on the edge quicker. But we definitely have to, you know, back by committee or run by committee type deal is what I think. When you just keep on rotating him, and whoever the hot hand is, mm-hmm. go with it.
Yeah, what if none of them get hot? That's kind of been the issue.
Yeah.
I think one of them will against the Lions. But Eckler had 7 traditional carries for 15 yards against Tampa. And that's with that awesome 8-yard run on the final drive.
That was huge, underrated there.
It was
a
great run. But before that, you're talking about 6-4-7
mm-hmm.
on his day in actual handoffs, because they credited him with a 12-yard run on a pass out wide that was behind the line of scrimmage. Let's go to Dave in Annapolis, rather. Dave, what's up?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. First off, I'd like to thank you guys for having, like, an intelligent conversation. I had to turn the rooster off. Man, that arguing over there is just terrible. But anyway, on to your all's conversation. I think, like y'all said, we need to get outside more. I rewatched the game last night on the NFL Network, and there was no holes. No holes up the middle. So Brian had nowhere to go. So I really don't think it's his fault. I think it's kind of the offensive scheme's fault running up the middle. I understand what you're saying is they're leaving the outside for Jaden, but I really do think we need to do some more pitches or options. That option play that they ran was open for the pitch, I think. And, you know, Jaden held the ball for some reason. But that's kind of my thoughts.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate you, buddy. I mean, what about just – if they were going up against the Ravens this week, what I would say is don't even try to run.
Don't bother.
You can't do it, and they're great at stopping it. Let's just throw as an extension of the run. The screens that work to Diami, those tunnel screens, the stuff out of the backfield, Eckler, those are your run game looks. I just think that the Lions are going to give you a little bit of room because they'd rather you run the ball than Daniels drop back and maybe take off. Or
yeah, wouldn't you?
Throw it. Absolutely. Lomas Brown of Lions Radio is going to join us at 3:30 today. Let's go through all 4 games in the divisional round one by one next on G&D.